We're at the letter of Jude on page 823 in the Pew Bibles. We've examined all that Jude has said in verses 1 to 11 as he speaks about the false teachers in verse 12. These are spots in your love feasts, while they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves. They are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, late autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, "Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage." Let's pray. Again, Father, we pray as we look into the scriptures that we would see your truth and that we would be changed by that truth for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, they say that a picture paints 1,000 words. In many cases, that is so true. What we see is more often remembered than what we hear. And what we hear and see is more often remembered than something we just see. All this goes to show that this morning, instead of preaching to you, I should maybe hold up a couple of pictures, and each of those pictures would be worth 1,000 words each. Well, in our text today, Jude does not give us pictures as such, but he does give us word pictures, which are the very next best thing. That is to say, in describing the character and the influence of those whom he calls false teachers, Jude makes what they are and who they are fairly plain as he can. He doesn't give us pictures of their faces or their appearances, but he does give us enough information about their character for us to be able to recognise a false teacher. Now, we've come to the halfway mark of the letter of Jude, and so about halfway through these studies in this short letter. It's worthwhile when we reach halfway mark to refresh our minds. What's Jude been about? So we don't lose sight of the whole picture. Among other things, we've learned from Jude's letter that it was written in response to the rise of what Jude perceived as a very real danger to the church. Not a danger from the outside the church, but a danger from inside the church. Not the devil banging at the door, but the devil creating havoc from within through false teachers who had entered by stealth and deception, who were leading the people of God astray. So Jude is a letter calling for urgent action, to withstand such an attack and to make plain just who and what the people of God should be on guard against. And in verses 12 to 16, where Jude addresses this situation about false teachers in the church, it's worth reminding ourselves that false teachers and true teachers are pretty hard to tell apart. False teachers do not have 2 heads or 6 arms. Or 9 eyes. In fact, in appearance, they look the same as true teachers of the Word of God. There's nothing different about them. They're humans, like we are. At this point, it's worth reminding ourselves that when Jesus spoke to his disciples and to us about the danger and the appearance of false teachers, that even Jesus gave no real instructions as to how we should tell them apart. He simply said, "Beware of false teachers. They come to you dressed in sheep's clothing, but underneath they are ravenous wolves." See the connection? In terms of appearance, Jesus said that false teachers look like and may even sound like harmless sheep, part of the flock. But underneath that facade, underneath that veneer, their real identity can be found. And the giveaway for false teachers, as far as Jesus was concerned, is this: you will know them by their fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. So what Jesus said and what Jude says are really one and the same, as you would expect. There's agreement in the Word of God. False teachers may well dazzle and glitter and shine and sound fine, but their deeds will follow in their wake, and their deeds will prove whether or not they are true or they are false. In both Jude's estimation and Jesus' estimation, false teachers will be able to be recognized by the fruit they produce, which will be ungodly in character. Forget about flowery in speech. Ungodly in character. And so it's by these word pictures that Jude explains all this. There are five word pictures in our text today that all introduce and spell out to us the dangers associated with false teachers and the fruit of their lives. Five word pictures, all drawn from the world of nature, would you believe, that speak in their own right individually. Consider them with me today. First, in verse 12, Jude says false teachers are like hidden rocks or blemishes. Now, I've given two options here, because Jude uses a very, very rare Greek word that's used once in the New Testament. It means there are some differences in translation according to the translation you're reading. The English translators of the Bible don't know exactly what Jude means when he uses this word. The meaning of the word is hidden or sunken rocks. But by the 4th century, the term came to mean spots or blemishes, that is, unsightly things upon your skin. Pimples, blemishes, marks, rottenness on a piece of fruit. Now, whichever translation of the word you choose here, there's reason to propose that either word fits the context. So if verse 12 either reads, "These men are hidden rocks at your love feasts," or "they are blemishes at your love feasts." Either way, the message is the same, that in the gathering of believers, the false teachers show their true colours. Now, these love feasts need some comment, because by their name they sound a bit weird and a bit immoral. But a love feast in the New Testament times was nothing immoral. According to Paul in 1 Corinthians, before observing the Lord's Supper, the Christians in that first century would meet for a meal, would eat and drink with one another as a sign that they were one body in Christ. However, what started out well began to show signs of decay when Paul wrote and reminded them that these were not times and occasions for greed or for drunkenness or for selfish indulgence. Now, given that if these false teachers behaved improperly at these feasts, then one could well understand that they were blemishes or hidden rocks. Blemishes because their behaviour was less than acceptable, hidden rocks because they were a trap for the unwary. Either way, the point that he's making is that they are selfish. For the rest of verse 12 describes them as false teachers who feed only themselves. perhaps referring to their greed at the table or their performance in the pulpit. Either way, false teachers will stick out like a sore thumb. The second picture here, Jude tells us in verse 12 that false teachers are like rainless clouds. Now we know a bit about that, don't we? The book of Proverbs says that people that promise things that they never give are like clouds and wind that bring no rain. They have the appearance of being rain-bearing clouds that are necessary for the supply of water to the ground, but they are not delivering on what they appear to have. That picture reminds us of our drought in 2007. It's not so long ago. And some of you were on the land in 2007, awaiting for dark clouds on the horizon, and knowing the disappointment that those dark clouds were just dark clouds and nothing came forth from them. Such are false teachers, professing many things but not actually delivering anything, promising the world but delivering zero, having the appearance of being able to provide but in reality empty, dry and worthless. By observation, much of modern Christianity is like that. Enthusiastic? Yep, you could say that. Seeming to advance? Yes, you could say that. Promising much? Yes, you could say that. But any substance? Are the sheep being fed? Or are the goats being amused? Are people being led to God? Or away from him? Are the sheep finding clear water to drink? Or muddied water because of the interference of false teachers? These dark clouds also have a habit of not only delivering no rain, but hiding the source of life, the sun which gives us light. So not only do false teachers bring no rain, but they plunge their hearers into darkness. A third, Jude brings the image of fruitless trees to mind. Jesus once said that every plant my Father has not planted will be rooted up. Jude here likens apostates or false teachers to trees, to autumn trees, bare of leaves, fruit trees that have no root, dead trees uprooted and no longer showing or giving signs of life. Psalm number 1 likens people to trees and says that those who are truly like are the Lord's are like trees planted by the water whose leaves and fruit appear in season. Jude is not talking about them, but the ungodly whose lives are not planted by the water, who are not characterized by the fruit of the Spirit, who are dead in fruit because they are dead at the root. Of course, you will know as well as I do that trees that have no fruit or leaves are practically worthless. They provide no shade, no nesting place, no life, no oxygen, no good. They're only useful for chopping down and putting into the fire. Jesus said that every branch that does not abide in him is thrown into the fire and burned. Fourth, Jude tells us of wild waves. I've had a few opportunities to be out on the sea when we went to New Zealand last year, and I enjoyed finding my sea legs. But as much as that may be true, so also is the fact that being out on the sea, I've seen how easily waves can become your mortal enemy and not your friend. Waves can cause havoc and create real problems for the sailor or the swimmer. Now, the sea is often used in Scripture to symbolize the plight and the restlessness of the wicked. Isaiah says, "The wicked are like the troubled sea, when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt." Waves have a habit of going this way and that, of tossing and throwing, of toing and froing, of crashing over breakwaters or whatever lies in their path, wildly foaming and doing great damage. Jude writes of false teachers and say they resemble the sea. Wild waves of the sea, foaming up their shame. It's interesting to find out that a contemporary of Jude's, a poet, used a similar image when talking about seaweed and other rubbish that is dug up from the depths beneath the wave and borne on the crest of the wave, then deposited on the shore, leaving a trail of litter. Such are the lives of false teachers, he says. What's inside them comes out. They foam up all that is within their hearts and it comes out to their shame. And like waves, you can see the trail of damage and chaos and confusion caused by their presence and outbursts. Fifthly, Jude says false teachers are like wandering stars. Wandering stars whose doom is to be imprisoned in darkness forever. Jude is referring to the shooting stars that light up the sky for a moment. Shooting stars that are useless for navigational purposes, because although they're bright, they're not going anywhere particular. They're short-lived. They come and they go. Shooting stars, I saw it, it's gone. Wandering stars who leave predetermined courses of orbits to branch out on their own are stars that face a similar fate. Through leaving their proper and appointed place, they come into contact with the air and they quickly burn up and they leave nothing behind. In this, Jude seems to be saying that false teachers will likewise head off into an oblivion of darkness, even an eternal oblivion, because they leave the way that is appointed for them and go off after other things, just as false teachers leave behind truth to embrace the path of error. Think again on these five word pictures and put them together and see how, by how them, Jude describes the false teacher. Hidden rocks, selfishness. Rainless clouds, helplessness. Autumn trees, fruitlessness. Wild waves, shamefulness. Wandering stars, aimlessness. Think of how these are all opposite to Jesus. He is the rock of salvation. False teachers are rocks that trap the unwary. He is the one who refreshes by grace. They promise much but give nothing. He is the tree of life. They are dead trees. He leads beside still waters. They are like the troubled sea. He is the bright morning star. They are wandering stars in the dark. Think also how these are opposite to us as believers. Instead of hidden rocks, believers are to be like living stones. Instead of rainless clouds, we're to be like living water. Instead of dead trees, we are the planting of the Lord. Instead of raging waves, we have peace that flows like a river. Instead of wandering stars reserved for the blackness of outer space, we shall shine as stars forever. And so we conclude with Jude's warning and Enoch's reminder. Jude's warning about false teachers so that we might not follow in their way is so clear. And by that warning, we are urged to stick with what we have been taught as the truth and shift neither to the left or to the right. The Word of God is a sharp two-edged sword. One side cuts down what is wrong, and the other clearly reveals what is right. All Scripture is inspired for correction, reproof, and training in righteousness. And so by exposing the false, Jude points us to the true, to the one who said, "I am the truth," and seek satisfaction in him, who will never fail, who never forsakes his own. But in verses 14 to 16, Jude adds one more thing by bringing a reminder from the book of Enoch. Now, the book of Enoch is a book written in the name of somebody called Enoch, but not the Enoch of the Old Testament. It's a book that was one of the many books that were around at the time of the apostolic era that were very popular. It was read in many places, but it was never understood to be written by an apostle, and so never part of the New Testament. It may even have been literature that the prophets, the false teachers and prophets, had appealed to and quoted from. And so Jude may have quoted from this book that they liked in order to emphasize a point that he could have supported from dozens of passages of the Old Testament. That is, God is going to judge. And he is going to judge the ungodly. There is a universal judgment to come. And God is going to bring every evil deed to account. And false teachers will fall under that judgment. You see the character he describes them as in verse 16. Grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lusts, mouths swelling great words, flattering people to gain advantage. And God is going to judge them, he says. Isn't it interesting that Jude would end this section of the book saying that God was going to judge false teachers, and so often that was what precisely the false teachers were denying. They were saying, God's not going to judge. And Jude is saying, oh, yes, he will. God will judge and he will set things right. That's what the book of Enoch says. True or not, from God or not, that's what it says. And that's what the word of God also says. So believe the truth. Be discerning. Look at the lives and the outcomes of those who make strange and outlandish claims. And remember that the true grace of God will always produce fruit in keeping with that grace, and there can be no imitation. There can be no imitation to love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the overall impression that these fruits will leave behind will be nothing less than humility and holiness. There is a fruit of the true grace of God, that we may discern where others stand, that we also may reflect that grace. Let's pray that we would be those people. Father, we give thanks to you that your word is full of things that are instructive, helpful, challenging. As we've delved into Jude's words today, we pray that you would put in us, help us to be people of your spirit, characterized not by the things that we've looked at today, the selfishness and the aimlessness of false teachers, but by those who have known and tasted the true grace of God and who reveal it in daily lives through the fruit of the Spirit. Please help us to be fruitful people, leading others to know the truth, warning others of the danger of departing from the safe paths believing the truth ourselves, and finding in that sufficient for the day, for every day. In this world of many voices and many false teachers, please write this upon our heart today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.